Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by the wonderful folks that support Covenant Church and Covenant Church Spokane. If you need a place that is hard-hitting, that is going to tell you what is actually happening and the perspective and the lens of the Word of God, Covenant Church Spokane is the place to be. We have people from all ethnicities that go to Covenant Church. Contrary to what the lying fake news communist propaganda media says. And it's also great that patriots from every walk of life are beginning to stand up and say enough is enough. And that's why we are in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and it's about wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it's about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The good news is the good news. Listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I want to talk about a couple things, and I'm going to start with a couple quotes today, because we've been doing Patriot Radio for a long time. Still, people try to avoid the truth. They avoid the truth. Everybody's afraid of confrontation. These are well-meaning people. We don't want to offend them anywhere. The truth sets us free. And to some, the truth is offensive, especially those who are perishing. But the truth is the truth. And what we have been called to do in this time is confess the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Confess it. Now, many of you have never heard of confessions, but they were actually something that is part of church history. Going back to April 13th, 1550, the Magdeburg Confession, which was the first modern iteration or modern confession of the idea of the doctrine of lesser magistrates. A friend of mine, Matt Truella, we're going to get him back on the program, talks about this excellent book called The Doctrine of Lesser Magistrates. In other words, we owe allegiance to King Jesus. And while there may be civil governing authorities below King Jesus, we do not owe those authorities allegiance or obedience if they are disobeying the highest authority, Jesus Christ. And so it doesn't matter if all the levels above you, and even for that matter, everybody else around you is doing the wrong thing. We are all still bound by an individual moral standard that comes from God to do the right thing, even in a situation where we might be the only one doing it. This is really what it means to be an American. When I gave training to soldiers going overseas, and we would talk about the just war theory, and we had a whole series of things we trained on with that and a bunch of different resources to answer questions. Now, the fake news, communist propaganda media tried to spin that into something nefarious, but we actually used to do this training regularly for troops deploying overseas. And one of the parts of that training was the disobeying of unlawful orders. And they started with a standard. Where did that standard come from? It came from God. That if somebody asks you to do something that is immoral, that you have an absolute right and actually a duty to refuse that order, even in the military. And this came from the Nuremberg trials, where Befehl ist Befehl, or an order is an order, was not an excuse for the German military and all of the subordinates. The subordinates were trying to say, oh, my commanders just told us to do that. An order is an order. That was not an excuse, because what resulted from that was the Holocaust. And so we, as the United States military, used to train this. And it used to be something very obvious, very direct, and very core to what it meant to be in the United States military. Because it was different than virtually every other military in the world. When we got prisoners, we treated them with respect. We would give them food. We would give them water. That's what made us different. Now, yes, there were some that didn't do that, but that was when they didn't do the right thing, they were correctly called out for it. And then you have to ask the question, okay, why were they called out for it? Because it clearly violated an independent moral standard. And no matter who told them, commanders, anybody above them told them to do that, they were still individually held responsible for their actions in that situation. And so I want to go back in history to a prayer. And actually a declaration. And I want to read this to you because I think it's important, because I'm going to be coming out with something here very shortly that I need the help of everybody listening to the show getting across the country so we can establish where we are, where the line is on the moral standard. In other words, those that are promoting fraud and deceit, they're promoting the destruction of this country. We need to draw a very clear line. And actually, the people that came here to America, they did this for us when they first set foot on the shores of this continent. Reverend Robert Hunt, 1607, April 29th. At Cape Henry, which is now Virginia Beach, Virginia, if you want to know where the geography points you to. April 29th, 1607, Reverend Robert Hunt offered the following prayer. Quote, "We do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to raise up godly generations after us, and with these generations take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations as long as this earth remains, and may this land, along with England, be evangelist to the world. May all who see the cross remember what we have done here. And may those who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant and in this most noble work, that the Holy Scriptures may be fulfilled." End quote. Covenant Church Spokane believes in this covenant. We believe in the covenant with Jesus Christ as well. And that means in this time, regardless of what anybody else does around us, or anybody else talks about doing around us. We will stand with Jesus Christ. We will do the right thing regardless of what other people are doing around us. This is the standard we need to have at this time. And so I'm going to put out here in the next week, God willing, a document that I want everyone that's listening to this show, not just to read, but to spread. And that brings us really to Sam Adams. Sam Adams drew a clear line in 1772. And he said this, quote, "If men through fear, fraud, or mistake should in terms renounce and give up any essential natural right, the eternal law of reason and the great end of society would absolutely vacate such a renunciation, the right to freedom being the gift of God Almighty. It is not in the power of man to alienate this gift and voluntarily become a slave." And for all of us, we should stand on that today. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. A lot to talk about, as always, but we're going to start first on the international front. This coming to us from Debcafile. Israel weighs reprisal for Iranian rocket attack on a freighter. Also, and this is interesting, there was a rocket attack, and this coming to us both from Debcafile and from Alerts USA. This was an attack on Saudi Arabia. Now, the supposed rebels that are doing this, they are Iranian-backed, and multiple ballistic missiles were intercepted over Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, the capital. U.S. Embassy was urging caution to people. But we can see from what's happening here that the new Biden policies are snubbing the Saudi prince and have uncovered Israel's reputed nuclear program. So what is happening is the Biden administration is actually emboldening the Iranians and is essentially ginning a crisis up in the Middle East, which we have talked about on this show previously, because there's a bigger agenda with that. They want to deploy more troops over to the Middle East, and then during that time of deployment and the time during the crisis, there will be some sort of a ginned up, some sort of an allowed attack on the U.S. homeland via cyber against our power grids and other critical infrastructure, etc. Now, this again came to us from Jack Decker, who actually ran part of these war games back in 2016. If you haven't heard that episode and the follow-on episode that we did a couple weeks ago, take a listen to that. That now moves us to the national front, kind of international and national front. This coming to us from the New American. An investigative reporter for the National Pulse, Natalie Winters, has revealed that China has been successful, imminently successful, in infiltrating the media and left-wing think tanks. You think? One of their most effective tools is China's United Front. Now, if you've ever heard a presentation that I have given on Marxism and Islamism in America, you will recognize that term United Front. It is one of the five parts of the Maoist insurgency model, that they always try to have a united front when they appear in public. Again, a strategy dating back to the days of Mao to present, quote, a false but persuasive and believable picture of China under Chinese Communist Party rule. In other words, they're trying to make themselves look better than they really are. Okay? So this is called China's United Front. So they have been infiltrating think tanks, in America and the media in America. This article details it. Take a look at this. Again, the New American. This is so interesting. The U.S.-China Security and Economic Review Commission has spelled out what the Communist Party in China is trying to do. And under specifically the China-United States Exchange Foundation, I want you all to remember this. The China-United States Exchange Foundation. So as they have called this out, it is very clear that, and this is according to the U.S.-China Security and Economic Review Commission, that the Chinese are trying to, quote, co-opt and neutralize sources of potential opposition to the policies and authority of the ruling CCP party and to take actions or adopt positions supportive of Beijing's preferred policy, end quote. So this is what's happening. And they actually, this Chinese agency also has a lobbying arm, which has been very active here in the United States of America. Now, Donald Trump, when he did this, he actually shut down five CCP groups infiltrating the media and left-wing think tanks and the education system. So take a look at this article. What they're trying to do is do this under the guise of cooperation. Very important to take a look at this. All right. Also on the national front, Amazon burning books. Jeff Bezos wants to control what you read. Amazon is very quietly now beginning to remove books that it deems whatever, contrary to their agenda. One of the very first things that they have to do is try to silence freedom of speech, because once they do that, then they can move to their next stage, which is almost always violence, according to communist military doctrine. Now, I've been studying this stuff for the better part of my adult life in the army and outside. Communists always follow their strategy and tactics books. They always follow it. And so they try to first silence freedom of speech, then they try to eliminate the ability to fight back. So you've seen everything from the very first communist revolution in the Soviet Union to today. This has been a pattern all the way along. So take a look at this article, because Amazon is essentially now trying to cancel books, particularly was the purging of the book When Harry Became Sally, responding to the transgender movement, a book by Ryan Anderson, president of the Washington-based think tank Ethics and Public Policy Center. Quietly removed that on February 21st. And according to the Epoch Times, it was for containing so-called hate speech. In other words, speech they don't agree with. And there have been myriad examples on Twitter of where they're actually coming out and calling. They literally use the words secret police. They actually advocated using those words. They also advocate for silencing totally and even trying to hold criminally accountable people for having a differing view on whatever, politics, in this case on morality. This is where it's going, folks. All right, also on the national front, coming to us from Liberty Sentinel, the dangerous illusion of normalcy in America. We are not normal right now. They're calling it the new normal, but this isn't what was ever intended by our founding fathers. such as freedom, such as liberty, such as free speech, regardless of whether you disagree, such as the right to bear arms, period. And so every effort has been undertaken to make what's happening appear normal, but also to make the pretender, after his installation, appear normal and cognizant when just report after report is showing that this person who is an empty suit in the White House right now has some significant cognitive defects and clearly is not calling the shots. We'll take a look at that article on Liberty Sentinel. Also from the National Front, Antifa, and according to Andy Ngo on several different posts out now, is planning violence, quote, destroy and cause chaos on March 6th. This is what they have posted themselves, Antifa has, and Andy Ngo has exposed it. Check that out. And Ngo is spelled N-G-O if you're looking for him on Twitter. All right. Also on the National Front. This is fascinating. So all these calls for transparency, and yet this FBI director won't reveal the cause of death of the police officer who died at the Capitol on January 6th, even 2 months later. And is citing ongoing investigations. They know what the cause of death was. It just doesn't fit their agenda. All right. Also, want to talk quickly about a Zero Hedge article. This is also on the National Front, where the Fed is investigating a massive outage of its interbank payment system. Could this have been a hack? We don't know for sure. But it's interesting that there was a massive outage of the interbank payment system, which is one example of a vulnerability regarding cyber. Also an example of why the pretender's initial executive orders removing protections of our grid were absolutely foolhardy, if not intentional. And intentional because they're planning something? I don't know. Just very interesting, all of this happening at once. All right. I also want to mention one more thing coming up. So this is on the local front. Here in Spokane on April 8th, you want to get there about 6 o'clock because it's going to start 6:37. The Iron Sharpens Iron Conference, we're going to have it at Covenant Church. Bevelin Beatty, several other folks are going to be joining us there. And we're going to be talking about the fake news media and the smearing of Christians and what we should be doing about it in this time. This really is going to destroy the communist propaganda narrative that is out there right now. So again, April 8th, Iron Sharpens Iron Conference at Covenant Church in Spokane. Pastor Ken Peters is going to be there. Pastor John Schrock is going to be there. And again, Bevelin Beatty is going to be there. She is a fireball. If you've never heard her speak, she's fantastic. And just the promo picture is going to destroy narratives of the Marxists. One other thing that I do want to mention too here locally. There has been a huge push in Washington State to clamp down on the right to bear arms, attempts to outlaw open carry, attempts to punish Christian speech, just here in our state. And so many, many people are fighting back over there, but I want to give a special nod to Representative Jesse Young, who is doing a fantastic job, along with Representatives Bob McCaslin and Rob Chase here locally, to really push back and expose a lot of this stuff. So keep your eyes out there. The governor just had a case dismissed. A church had filed suit against the state over these unconstitutional mandates. And Governor Inslee actually said, this was their argument, we're not enforcing any of those mandates, therefore you should dismiss the case. So in other words, they're saying they're not going to enforce any of these mandates against the church, so therefore you should dismiss the case. Well, wait a minute. You can't just make stuff up, say you're not going to enforce it, and get away with it. So were you lying when you did it? You lying now? And oh, by the way, if this was such an emergency, why are you not treating everything equally? I mean, this just shows the unconstitutional, tyrannical nature of what we're facing here in America today. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. Thank you so much to just all of the well wishes out there and just all the people that are waking up and waking your friends and family up. Thank you. It's so refreshing and encouraging. I was just at a meeting on the west side of the state. 150 people showed up over there. People are, and this was a little small community. People are waking up everywhere. Wake up, get involved, educate your friends and family, because ultimately it's going to start at the local level. All politics is local, but everything local is politics. It's going to start at the local level, coming together and just saying very simply, this is not going to happen in our area. We are going to stand on the Constitution. We are going to stand on morality as understood through Judeo-Christian values. All right. If you have the opportunity, you can also go to Patriot Radio on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. I hope everybody kind of goes there. We're also replayed across the entire ACN network every night, 9 o'clock. Check it out. All right. It is my great pleasure to introduce Annalisa Pesek, who is a staff writer for The New American. She's a graduate of the University of Washington's iSchool in Seattle, a former managing editor and book review editor at Library Journal, and kind of one of the newer additions to The New American. Thank you so much for being here on Patriot Radio with me today. How are you doing? Well, it looks like we don't have her, so thought we had her on. My goodness. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes. Hello.
Hey, there you go. Okay, we can hear you now. So thanks for joining me. How are you doing? You're kind of new to The New American, I guess, as far as all of the seasoned writers are there concerned. So tell us a little bit about your own personal story, and then let's get into a few of the things that are happening around COVID-19.
Sure. Well, I've been at The New American for a whole month or two. I am very new to the magazine, but I've been grateful to be writing about topics I care about and things that are impacting my own community, my own family, and the community at large. So I am starting to do more writing, and I was thrilled that they asked me to be on your show today.
That's awesome. So you've been kind of covering a lot of the COVID-19, so-called analysis from some of the governing authorities. If you could talk about what they're reporting and what the reality is happening with COVID-19, and if you could give a little bit of your commentary too about what you think is really driving this.
Okay. I'd like to start by saying that the pandemic is not COVID-19. I truly believe that we are in a pandemic of fear. And I'm drawing on an article I read recently written by this writer. Her name's, or I'm not sure, S.G. Chea. And she or he quoted some really interesting information by a medical psychiatrist who has done a lot of research into this delusional psychosis that he thinks is taking place in our society. And I related to this idea because in my own family, I've experienced interactions with family members that seem completely irrational and delusional around COVID-19. And to be specific, you have to get a test in order to see me. You have to wear the mask inside the over the threshold of our home, but when you get in, you can take it off to sit it down at the table. And I questioned these recommendations, if you will, or requirements, and I said, well, where are you getting this information? Like, how we heard from Fauci back in March, don't wear the mask. And then when he told us to wear the mask, and who is Fauci anyway? Why are we listening to Fauci? But the minute you start raising questions and the minute you ask what's driving this data, because the data that I'm looking at, because it makes you go look for the data. And at least that's been my experience. All of what we've been told by the mainstream media raised a lot of flags for me, and I was compelled to dig deeper and find other sources. And I think I'm not a minority, but I'm a minority in the sense that we're on the conservative side. I think we're actively pursuing this information, but on the mainstream media side, we're being censored for it. So it's frustrating, as you probably understand. I understand you're in the Pacific Northwest, so we're in this very blue part of the country where, you know, you walk outside, go to the grocery store, and I don't wear a mask, but everyone around me wears the mask. And you start to think, is it me that's crazy? No, I'm not, because I'm looking, I'm going to the CDC. And to answer your question, about looking at the numbers, my whole article that I wrote recently looked closely at the numbers available to the average American. You can get on the CDC site and go through their data related to COVID, and it is a nightmare. You get contradictory statements about my topic for this one article was excess deaths. So presumably, if there is a pandemic, I don't believe there is, but the idea that 500,000 people have died from COVID-19 is problematic. And if you go to the data, it shows that it's problematic because you've got different definitions for different, for example, excess deaths. You have, well, excess deaths related to COVID-19 versus excess deaths in general. And then you've got very contradictory statements about how this data is presented. And I write about that in the article. I don't know how deep you want me to go into some of those examples. But basically, the science, I think Dennis Prager said this very well the other day. He said that, you know, we've been told to follow the scientists, and we're following and follow the scientists who have led us off a cliff. And I think that that's a really great way of describing, giving a good picture of what's happening right now, is people are believing what they hear Dr. Fauci say, and they are so fearful. It's what the writer earlier that I was referencing calls a mass insanity that's taking place and kind of running amok. It's not the virus. And not to say that the virus isn't real, and make that very clear in the article. It's lethal and it's real. But back in March, when study came out, it's a very famous study from Imperial College. It's a research university in London, and they said that 100% or 100 times people over 80 will be at risk of dying from this virus. People below age 35 are at a very low risk. Okay, that was back in March. And we know a lot more now, but that kind of spurred the governments all across the world to just take off with these lockdowns and issue these lockdowns. And, you know, that's a whole nother story, but so anyway, you know, in my own family, my younger brother, he's 13, and today we got a letter from South Whidbey Little League, where he has played baseball for years, and they told him, using my parents, that he had to wear a mask to play in the game, and we had to wear masks to be at the field and to sit on the sidelines. And we, you know, we questioned that and said, well, we're not, that's unhealthy. We're not going to do that to a 13-year-old boy who's running around a field with a mask on. That's child abuse. That's crazy. Like, that's harming this child. And they got back to us and said, you know, it doesn't matter. I can't remember the exact words. She was very upset. She said that we were berating the organization for following the government's rule. Our response was, well, there's this thing called government overreach and tyranny, and if the government is doing something that is not right, we have the right to push back. So that was a very, you know, long answer to your basic questions of my thoughts on COVID and my personal experience with it.
Well, but let's break down some of these actual causes of death, because it gets kind of interesting. You know, all of a sudden the flu disappeared as a seasonal for the last 100 years, as a seasonal statistic. The flu has essentially disappeared, but actually part of the COVID-19 deaths are due to influenza and pneumonia and other things. If you could go into those details.
Sure. So there is an entire section in the CDC that's devoted to coronavirus deaths attributed to pneumonia and influenza. And then there's a section on deaths attributed to only influenza. So these numbers are striking. All deaths involving influenza in 2021, 135. That number, 135, contrasted with deaths involving COVID-19 and pneumonia, 55,000. So we are to believe that 55,000 people have died, and this is only in 2021, so 2 months. We're not far into 2021. That is an astounding difference. And other numbers involving COVID-19, deaths from all causes, for example, 398,000, okay? Last year, in 2020, it was 3,356,000. So the question that I was asking when I was writing this article is, how do we know that the 500,000 deaths that we have heard are attributed to COVID are really attributed to COVID? And I broke down by looking through some of this data, this government data. And, you know, government data has been available for as long as the government's been around, so hundreds of years. And what I saw in some of the data is that the mortality rate in the United States has been steadily climbing since 2012. And the difference between the numbers last year and all the way back to 2018 are just it's a very small difference. And then if you go back to 2012, you see that those numbers have been steadily climbing. So before 2012, it's interesting that the numbers were kind of going down. So there's a lot to look at if you were really interested in fatality rates in the United States. The data is out there. But that information is contrary to what we're seeing in, like, the CDC information. So it really all depends on where you get your information. And now that data I was referring to about the steadily climbing mortality rates, that was taken from a United Nations data source. So it's credible. I mean, it's credible. It's government. We I don't know. We want to trust these sources. But the problem is the sources and are presenting conflicting data, and it's very hard to decipher a real quote unquote real cause of death when we look at the number 500,000, which is the number that everyone is seeing and is scaring the public to think that, you know, if you walk outside and you play with the kids play outside, they're going to pick up COVID-19 from the grass and they're going to take it inside the house and kill their grandmother. That is what's feeding the narrative that is making people so fearful that they're becoming what, you know, I posited in the article and what some and what doctors are saying, is this like psychosis, this delusional, irrational way of thinking.
That's right. Actually, I want to comment on something you said earlier, too. I was just out in South Whidbey over the weekend. Great, great folks and patriots out there. And a shout out to them right now. They're doing a great job of exposing a lot of the lies that are coming out of downtown Seattle and Olympia. I want to talk about some of the specifics here. So as of February 14th, nearly 45% of these COVID-19 deaths had a comorbidity of influenza and pneumonia. Well, you mean like a regular year, right? And I think people miss this. Then hypertension was almost 20%, diabetes was 16%, and Alzheimer's and dementia accounted for almost 15% of the deaths that they're attributing to COVID-19. 94% of the total deaths that they're saying from COVID-19, 94% had what we call comorbidities or had another condition, one of these that I just talked about. This can't be a pandemic. With those numbers, by the CDC's own definition, they're having to almost create it with statistics, which is leading people to fear and psychosis. And I would like you to comment quickly on, you know, how fear actually is used to control populations and also get them to do things they maybe wouldn't otherwise do, like, for example, take an experimental gene therapy, because it's not a vaccine, it's a gene therapy, because that's what the patent says. Talk about that as well.
The fear that the popular narrative is driving is causing people to snitch on each other, to create restrictions that have no real basis in reality. So when a person is not living in any kind of sense of a reality, which I would argue that today many people are not living in reality, they are afraid they are going to die. They are afraid that their children interacting with other children are going to pick up the virus and come home and kill the grandma, or that they are going to get hurt. And this, what I'm mostly worried about is the generational impact. So the impact that we're having on our children. My younger sister just had a baby, and she is concerned about vaccines. What is she going to do about the COVID vaccine? She's not going to get it, but will it be required of her child to get it? When, you know, who knows when that will that may be another required vaccine soon? It is making our society more compliant and obedient and unquestioning. And I think that if we don't question and we become more compliant, then obviously we will do whatever we're told to do. And that makes it possible for government to issue another kind of restriction that may, you know, it's easier than what's the next restriction going to be, because they've already put forth restrictions that maybe we wouldn't have followed 10 years ago or 50 years ago. Who would have worn a mask for an entire year 50 years ago? I think there would have been much more resistance, but for some reason, we are not resisting. And, you know, there's a lot to say about that. Like, you could talk a lot about why that, you know, culturally that is happening, or is it because we've taken God out of the equation? Is it a spiritual issue? Is it much bigger than politics altogether? But the bottom line is that it is driving people to be delusional and kind of in this perpetual state of fear that can only, I think, create problems for themselves and the people around them. So I guess what we are headed for is either more of the same, and in a larger, you know, it becomes a bigger issue in taking COVID out of the equation. What's next? If they can do this with COVID, and the government can clamp down on a society and make them obedient to these extremely outrageous restrictions, what else can the government do? So that's what I would say about how it's just perpetuating this kind of immutable state of fear. Like, people are kind of frozen in time right now, and we've been doing this now for a year, and it's hard to wrap one's head around where we are when we look back at where we were a year ago, and try to understand why this lie is just being perpetuated over and over. Or, you know, it's like a lie, and it gets so big that people just continue to believe it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely it does. And I think that's really what the critical thing is right now, that all this fear is driving people toward an experimental gene therapy. When most people normally wouldn't do that, people are clamoring for it, even though if they knew not only that COVID-19 was not the threat that everybody has been saying empirically, but also why are you forcing some sort of an experimental vaccine right now if it really isn't that threat? Because the burden really is on the government to show an actual emergency, number one, and number two, to show that there's actually some sort of a cause, you know, by people being out in society, and they can't show either right now, legitimately. And so, you know, folks are starting to question, this is great, but I think you're right. It's being used for things beyond a health issue. Like, for example, RFK Jr. being canceled just because he started questioning the vaccines. And if you could comment a little bit on that.
Stance on vaccines, as you know, goes, I think, as far back as the 80s, when he was looking at, I think he's quoted that several generations ago, people were taking maybe three vaccines, and now they're taking 16 on different schedules. It's remarkable, the increase in vaccine dosage. And, of course, he correlates that with the increase in diagnosis of autism and other conditions. And that's where he is bucking the narrative, right? They don't – it's not useful for the medical establishment to be challenged on things that give, you know, basically the medicine that brings in their profits. And what he's doing is really questioning the causes of the vaccine, the adverse causes. So he has been canceled. He was, I'm surprised it didn't come sooner, because he's been such a strong voice. And he's actually not an anti-vaxxer. If you do any bit of research on him, he just is very carefully examining the effects of the vaccines in a way that, you know, hasn't been accepted. So the gene therapy and the vaccine itself, you know, there's been a lot of conversation around this, and I have, you know, there's a lot more research I need to do in terms of understanding the vaccines, but I do know that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine, for example, as you probably know, and maybe it's the Moderna one, that you get it and it doesn't actually prevent you from getting the virus. It just lessens the symptoms. And then you have to get a second dose. And what is the purpose of that second dose? I don't know.
Right.
I've never quite understood that. But and then that you have to continue to wear a mask after you get the vaccine, which is supposed to lessen the symptoms. But why get the vaccine at all? I was sick back in August, and I remember asking the doctor, if this was COVID, would you treat me any differently? And he said no, because I had flu symptoms and I had just traveled. And I thought, are they going to ask me to get a test? Or this was still early on where we didn't, I think we still have the ability not to get the test. But, and anyway, he said, you know, I wouldn't treat you any differently if it's the flu. And he recommended some vitamin C and cold medicine. So you have to wonder, okay, then why do I get the vaccine at all? Why are we getting this vaccine again? I mean, it all sounds just so irrational when you start thinking about it. But then when you speak to people and you raise these concerns or these questions and they look at you like you have six heads, you do start to wonder, well, why do I sound so crazy? I am just following the science. I'm just listening to the doctors and the experts, these epidemiologists from accredited institutions providing this information. RFK Jr. is one example. I think he's gonna keep fighting the good fight. I just saw an interview with him today, actually, talking about the vaccines, and he was talking about what's happening in these nursing homes. I don't know if you've seen this, but
yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, where they're forcing people against their will to take the vaccine, and you watch these videos, and you just your heart breaks, and you think this is criminal. These people are criminals for doing something like this. I mean, something I've never seen in my lifetime, and I'm 40 years old, so I would say that we are in an unprecedented time when people like RFK Jr. are a huge blessing. And he's canceled, but what does that exactly even mean, right?
We're
still going to find him. We're still going to read his stuff. There are people who will. But journalists are being canceled. Alex Berenson, who is a former New York Times journalist, he has released a couple of books about, they're really just pamphlets, but I think he's going to make it into a book, but it's called Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns, and he kind of starts from the beginning of when the infections were first actually located here in Seattle, and traces it to through the fatality counts and the estimates of death and how those numbers were just all over the map, and they have been over the map, all over the map, and then goes into talking about, masks and lockdowns. Very interesting. But he had a hard time publishing that. And any of this information is being censored. So I think a big takeaway is the censorship that's happening that's never happened before, which also leads back to your question about control. How does a society become controlled? Well, shut down the lines of communication. And that's what is happening.
So in the last 30 seconds that we have left, if you could quickly just tell the listeners where they can go to learn more information about this and find out more about you as well and read your articles.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Yeah, you can go to thenewamerican.com, where I am publishing on COVID. Several of our writers are doing investigations. There's video with doctors and people who are truly at the front lines of investigating the vaccines and looking at what is all involved there. Also, you can go to the John Birch Society to find out more about who we are as an organization. And I would encourage people to go to frontline doctors, also to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s website, of course, which I believe is the Healthcare Defense for Children. I probably am messing that up a little bit, but and check out Alex Berenson's book, Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns.
Awesome. Annalisa Pesek, thank you so much for being on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the fight and the great journalism.
Thank you so much.
All right. Annalisa Pesek, she is a staff writer for The New American. Check her out and her articles at The New American. Check out also the information she just put out about the real death rates, the real causes of COVID-19, and that a lot of what is being fed to the public is fear-based and not factual. Also want to highlight again the upcoming event, April 8th, Iron Sharpens Iron Conference with Bevelyn Beatty. It's going to be at Covenant Church, 6:30 on April 8th. Show up, bring your friends, bring your family. It's going to smash all of the communist fake news media propaganda that's out there. It is going to smash it, and you are going to see once and for all, not only have they been lying to you, but what actually we need to be doing about it as Christians. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may you make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.